It's time again for the Hourly Struggle. My name is Joshua Ferguson, and I'm your host, and we're going to talk about why you may have seen my name in the news lately. Myself, my friend David, and the blog for which we write, Friends for Fullerton's Future, were recently covered by the Electronic Freedom Foundation, Fox News, Orange County Register, The Voice of OC, Ars Technica, Gizmodo, Boing Boing, KTLA, Slashdot, Hacker News, and. See, we were in the news because the city of Fullerton finally agreed to settle a lawsuit they had been waging against us for the last 18 months. What was the lawsuit? Why were they suing us? And why did we settle? Let's get into it. So first of all, the lawsuit was because we allegedly hacked the city's system. We stole files. That's what you'll hear the people that are mad that we settled still saying to this day. The reality is basically the opposite of that. So what happened, to give you a rough timeline, is this. I ran for city council in 2016. In doing so, I made a lot of friends in the political activist scene. And because of that, ended up bringing back a blog from dormancy, the Friends for Fullerton's Future. After 2012, for various reasons, the blog went on hiatus and it was down for 4 years. And I brought it back the day after the election of 2016, when our then city manager got drunk, got in his car, and drove over a tree, and Fullerton PD tried to cover it up. That opened up a Pandora's box of several years worth of blogging and multiple records requests. When you get into local politics, you have to put in a lot of records requests. Unfortunately, the government doesn't like to be transparent. They'll come up with a million reasons why they can't just tell you the truth.
For your own good, dear.
Usually it's graft or laziness, but irrespective of the reasoning, they just don't like transparency. Now, if all the records that you wanted, all the data points, all the facts were just out there on the web, you know, certain things notwithstanding, like attorney-client privilege or social security numbers and health data, you know, things that are legally have to be privileged. But if all the other stuff was just there, you'd have no reason to put in records requests. Unfortunately, it would be work to actually release things. And again, another thing the government is allergic to is actual work. It's one of the reasons your roads suck so bad.
Obviously not roads. The roads go without saying, don't they?
So we put in a lot of records requests. I think the city said we put in 80 or more. I'd be surprised if the number was that low. And we put them in across multiple topics, issues, and departments because you kind of have to. If you want to know what's going on in a park, you may have to request things from Parks and Rec, Public Works, and look for multiple things. And one thing you find here may lead to another records request here, so on and so forth. When I started doing this in 2016, our city manager at the time, the aforementioned Joe Fells, used to like to direct staff to kind of screw with us. They would take digital files, print them out, and then scan them back in just so we couldn't keyword search them. We'd get giant files that were just shouldn't have been as big as they were because you're taking text documents and making images out of them. And then we'd have to read every redundant, mundane file looking for what we were actually looking for. It's one of the many ways the government tries to stop people from finding what they want to find out. We started complaining and started asking for digital files. And at some point, someone in the city had a good idea and they started using Dropbox. Unfortunately, like most government things, they took that good idea.
Good idea, oh Lord.
And just cocked it up.
Run away!
So what happened is the city was using Dropbox and they were just putting files on there for people to download. If you put in a records request, you could just download this zip file or download this PST file or whatever the case may be. And they were using it for multiple people in multiple departments. Now, we knew this Dropbox existed because we'd been told about it, but also because my friend David had put in a records request about a parks project. In this request, they sent David emails, as vetted by the Fullerton City Attorney, that actually listed a website, cityoffullerton.com/outbox. Now, the way the California Public Records Act works, the minute you release a file to the public, it is public for the public, not just the person you released it to. So the minute they released that URL to David or whomever, they released it to everybody. It was a public record. It was legally in the wind. Whether you knew about it or not, it was a public record.
It's public information.
The city likes to pretend otherwise. So skip ahead, and at some point, the city decides that they're not just going to use the Dropbox to disseminate public records to the public, but also as a middleman to get files from IT. Like, we put in a records request, they would get all these files from IT, then IT would put them onto Dropbox in some format. The city attorney would then download them, go through them, and then return the files they deemed were public records. Now, there's a dispute as to what is and isn't a public record, hence my CPRA lawsuit against the city, which is a whole other thing for another day, but they would release what they consider to be public records. What they claim is that we bypassed access controls, violated the express authorized permission that they had given us, and clicked links we shouldn't have clicked, and therefore were hackers.
I think we got a hacker.
Hackers under both the federal Computer Fraud and Abuse Act and the California version of that. Allow me to show you what Kim Barlow from the firm Jones and Mayer, the city attorneys of Fullerton, think is hacking. So knowing that the city released this website to the public in public records requests, if you just went to your browser at the time and typed in cityoffullerton.com/outbox, what would happen? Yeah, it would immediately redirect you to the city's Dropbox business account, the root directory. See City of Fullerton, Dropbox business. If we click this little home button, it takes us to Dropbox. That opens a new tab here. Notice I'm not signed in. I'm just on Dropbox. No access controls at all required here. You can see there's a hash up top for their account, and they like to pretend that we must have hacked that, ignoring the fact that they just sent us there. You go through here and you see all these files. This is just everything they use Dropbox for. Just everything. There's a file with my name on it. Here's another file down here with my email. You can look. There's files with people's initials. That's an airport lawsuit right there, I believe. Here's one with my JF. That's my initials. And if you go through these, you can just see they were just using it for whatever. There are no access controls here. Here's the biggest file in contention that they sued us over is PRR1919-JoshFerguson. You're looking, it's almost a 7 gigabyte file. You can't preview this. All you can do is download it. There is no way to preview this file. And by clicking that link, the city right then says that you violated the CFAA, the Federal Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, because you didn't have express authorized permission to click a link on a website you knew about, to click a link that was on the public internet. So the issue here isn't one of hacking, because you can't call that hacking. That's literally going to a URL and clicking a link with no access controls. But the city calls it hacking. They call it theft.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Now, if you click those links, they like to pretend that, oh, you stole their wallet or their files. But that's not how digital files work. 1,000 people could download that file, and they still have it. They still retain it. Just 1,000 people have it as well. You didn't lose anything, you just allowed people to make copies of it. So trying to compare it to an analogy of like rifling through someone's desk and taking things you don't have access to is just ludicrous at best. That's not how the internet works. It's always been subterfuge. It's always been blustering bullshit by Barlow to try to shift blame. But shift blame from what? Well, Kim Barlow and Jones and Mayer claim that these files, especially 1919-JoshFerguson, have attorney-client privilege records, health data, social security numbers, and the like. And they claim that we were in illegal possession of this stuff. But the point here is very simple. We didn't break the law by clicking a link. Jones and Mayer broke the law by putting those files on the internet. I'm not a lawyer by any stretch of the imagination, but a quick Google search told me that California Evidence Code 954 stipulates that it's an attorney's job to make sure attorney-client privilege documents stay privileged. The American Bar Association, actually I think it's Rule 1.6 or 1.61 on confidentiality of files, says the same thing. The health records are a whole nother problem because not only did it violate Dropbox's terms of service to put those on there, but also it violates both the security and privacy rules of HIPAA, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. It's illegal to put these records online. It's not illegal to click on links of them. It's illegal to put them online. You see, Jones and Mayer and Kim Barlow broke the law by putting these records on the internet, and they wanted to blame us because there are legal liabilities and civil penalties for doing this. If you put people's data at risk, they can sue you. So from the outset, this was all about covering Jones and Mayer's ass and blaming somebody else. Now, Barlow right now likes to run around and say it was a win for the city because they spent something like $800,000 or more on this lawsuit. They had to pay for an arbitrator because we wouldn't settle without one. They're paying us $350,000. I've heard that their legal fees are knocking into $500,000. And. Once you count the tech company they had to bring in, they're over probably $1.5 million easy in the hole for this problem they caused.
Because of their own incompetence and their own inefficiency.
Not to mention any lawsuits that could come out from releasing information that they should have kept private. But Jones and Mayer's connected the city. They grease a lot of palms. And so the last thing the city was going to do was hold their attorney accountable for being bad attorneys, for their own gross negligence. Instead, they tried to shift the blame. Barlow likes to claim this wasn't about the First Amendment, it was just about getting our documents back. But allow me to read to you a line from the first thing they sent to us when they realized we were publishing things. And that's from June of 2019. And I quote, "For all these reasons, the City of Fullerton demands you immediately remove these confidential documents from your blog within 1 hour of your receipt of this emailed cease and desist letter." Yeah, they threatened us with a misdemeanor and demand we unpublish things we published, which is an illegal prior restraint against the First Amendment. We ignored them. So then they sent a letter to our attorney in July demanding the same thing. We told them to kick rocks. Skip ahead, later they sued us. Now in that lawsuit, their request included item J: selling, publishing, distributing, disclosing, or otherwise using any of the information or documents obtained from the city Dropbox folders and files listed at Exhibit A without the city's permission or a valid court order. Again, they were trying to restrain us from publishing, from distributing. That is written so broadly that giving documents to the court for our defense could be in violation of that order. It was overly broad, and again, restrained us from publishing. The courts actually granted the temporary restraining order, and the appellate court took our side and struck it down. Then the trial court granted a preliminary injunction, and again the appellate court struck it down. We had the law on our side. We had the ACLU on our side. We had the EFF on our side. The only thing the city had was Kim Barlow trying to cover her own ass by baffling judges with bullshit. Unfortunately for us, it worked at the trial level. Fortunately for us, it didn't seem to be working at the appellate level. It should also be noted that even the trial level balked at some of the things that Barlow was demanding, such as access to our entire digital lives. That's right, when they sued us in October of 2019, they wanted access to all of our computers, hard drives, CD-ROMs, thumb drives, etc., etc. Yeah, etc. is actually listed. The demand they were requesting was so broad, the SD card in my son's Nintendo DS would have been covered.
Collect all data possible.
Again, this was always about violating the First Amendment, telling us we couldn't publish things that were newsworthy, such as a perv cop filming up the skirt of a 17-year-old on a high school campus, or the city working with another officer to violate the California Public Records Act by hiding her absolute corruption. I mean, these are things that are newsworthy. If you think a journalist should sit on these things, you don't know what journalism is. It was the city's job to keep these things out of public view, not our job to not talk about it. And that's a distinction that is a huge difference that people on the city side of this refuse to grapple with. I didn't violate evidence rule 954. I didn't violate ABA rules. I didn't violate HIPAA. That was Jones and Mayer. That was the city of Fullerton. And this has always, from day one, been about blaming us for their actions. And they sued us. Keep that in mind. They sued us. We didn't sue them.
Well, you sued me.
I didn't think it would drag on for 18 months. I certainly didn't think it would require new city council members to see through all of this nonsense, but unfortunately it did. I honestly didn't want to settle. I wanted to make the city eat it all the way to the end, but unfortunately, there are risks involved in lawsuits, and this is an important point that needs to be stressed on why we settled. The trial court judge that ruled against us admitted in court that he couldn't check his own email or his own online banking. Somebody who admitted to being computer illiterate was adjudicating our lives on a technical issue he didn't understand. That's dangerous for us. If, God forbid, we lost at the appellate court, we were going to have to go to trial, which meant a new lawyer, depositions, and all of that costs money. Every time the city filed some 200-page nonsense brief, we'd have to read it and respond to that. We'd have to pay an attorney to read it and respond to that. And every time you respond to the court, it costs you money. And this is an important point about the settlement, because some people have been bitching in the comments on various sites, like, oh, the attorney got the bulk of it. That's technically not true. You see, there's actually two line items in the settlement. That's the attorney's fees and the monetary settlement to myself and David. If we won on the anti-SLAPP motion, which is what was in front of the California Appellate Court, our attorney would have been entitled to her fees anyways. When we hired her, we knew what her rate was. We agreed to it. We would have been on the hook for that had we lost. And unfortunately, even though we thought we would win, we weren't sure because, well, courts are made up of people and people are fallible. It's not that we had a $350,000 settlement and she took the bulk of it. This isn't the Ticketmaster class action scam. This was she got her fees that we agreed to, which meant we didn't have to pay her fees. And then they paid us as well. Those are two different things. And Kelly Aviles is probably the best attorney in California when it comes to the Public Records Act and to these issues. So she was well worth it. I'm not even going to balk at that to begin with. But the reason we did agree to settle is because it had already taken 18 months of our lives. It had already been just dragging on and on and on. And the bill kept going up, both for us and the taxpayers. Now, technically, insurance might pay for our settlement, and the taxpayers won't eat much out of that, but they ate every dollar that was paid to the city's attorney, which I have heard is over $500,000 at this point, at least $400,000. Which means as this dragged on, if it went to trial, if it went to appeals after that, the city was just going to be throwing good money after bad to continue to sue us in what I thought we would ultimately win anyways. And if we won in the trial court, we were never really entitled to monetary damages. We would have had to have filed another lawsuit about malicious prosecution or defamation or, and that was just another thing we didn't want to have to struggle with. The reason we even got a monetary settlement is because we refused to settle unless they apologize, and if the city refused to apologize, which they refused to do, as you can read in their settlement, there is no apology in it, they had to pay us.
That's why they pay me.
So you won't take honest responsibility for your actions and hold anybody on your side really accountable, so that price tag just keeps going up. And they were more willing to spend money that didn't belong to them than take accountability. That's how it played out. Again, this has always just been about ass covering from Jones and Mayer and their crony friends, despite any protesting to the contrary. Now let's get to some of that protesting very quickly. Again, Kim Barlow was talking about how it was a win for the city. Really?
Sorry, what did you win?
You think it's a win that the city had to pay $800,000+ to claw back files that you still had in your possession? I mean, we didn't unpublish anything. We published the things that we thought were newsworthy. If we were going to publish more, we would have already. But it's only a win insofar as Kim Barlow wasn't held accountable. Jones and Mayer wasn't held accountable. Remember, it's just tax dollars that they burned. They don't care that they spent $800,000 to claw back data we clearly weren't going to publish. See, unlike bureaucrats, we care about your privacy. We weren't going to publish health records, social security numbers, etc., etc. That wasn't our bag. We were going to publish corruption and newsworthy things. Like, hey, look at that Parks and Rec vehicle that got turned over that the city sort of ignored that it ever happened. Hey, look at those employees that were stealing $50,000 worth of merchandise. Things that you have the right to know about.
They need to know.
Jones and Mayer still has a job, so that's why it was a win for them. Now, the vote at City Council to settle with us was 3-2. It was unanimous. Council members Jung, Dunlap, and Whitaker voted in favor of settling, and Silva and Zara voted against it. Now, Jung and Dunlap are fairly new on council. They didn't vote to sue us 18 months ago, so they were able to look at this with fresh eyes. Whitaker was always against it because he knew what was going on to begin with. The two that voted against us have given the most ludicrous rationalizations for why they voted against us, and it needs to be talked about. First, let's talk about Jesus Silva. In the Fullerton Observer, he claims that he voted against us because he has a fiduciary responsibility to protect the taxpayers of Fullerton. Okay, first, Jesus Silva has never uttered the phrase fiduciary responsibility before in his life. He doesn't care what things cost. He's your typical Democrat in that regard. The reality is that if Jesus Silva understood what fiduciary responsibility is, we would have a different city attorney than we do litigator. That way, if they make a mistake, they don't then get to prosecute and profit off of the ill-fated prosecution, which they do. I can name you 3 cases right now that the city attorney caused and then profited off of. And that's our case, the Fullerton Airport, where they read a contract wrong and that's going to cost the city $1 million, and a local bar where the city attorney misread a law and then convinced staff to violate our local municipal code for reasons. And if that goes to court, they'll be in charge of that as well. The city attorney should not be able to profit off of their own bad decisions like this, or off of things that they themselves caused, and anybody who understood fiduciary responsibility or perverse incentives would see that. Silva has no problem keeping Jones and Mayer around. He has no problem never holding them accountable to their actions. He doesn't care about fiduciary responsibility. He just doesn't like us in the blog. Ahmad Zara, on the other hand, decided to take both tracks of the stupider liar game by claiming it was like if you lost your wallet on the ground and somebody picked it up. No, idiot, that's not even remotely what it's like, because that's not how digital files work. It's like if you dropped your wallet on the ground and somebody went to pick it up and they picked up a wallet, but your wallet stayed there and they were just all the same. And then you got your wallet back because you turned around and realized it was there. That's the closest you can get to the analogy, which fails on so many levels. It's more like I asked you for a $5 bill and you gave me your wallet and then realized later, oh crap, my social security card's in there. That's more what it's like. Unfortunately, analogies are hard for him. He also claimed that he was in favor of settling this a long time ago. I challenge him to show any proof of that at all. There was no settlement up until the council changed. There wasn't one. Kim Barlow once chased my attorney down in court saying they wanted to settle when I believe that was around the time that the court granted the temporary restraining order, which the appellate court struck down. We knew we weren't going to lose on that anyways. So why would we settle at that point? And then later there was some back channel thing they tried doing that we were never going to agree to because it was not a good idea at all. But ultimately it came down to the idea of they wanted to make the case go away as long as we took responsibility for it all. as long as we got reamed by the city and they got to shift all blame and all accountability to us, which we were never going to agree to.
No, absolutely not.
Finally, the city came to their senses and they decided to take responsibility and factually state what they did, which is what it would have taken to get to a settlement 18 months ago. Responsibility, accountability. The city refused that for 18 months, and that's why Barlow thinks it's a win to spend over $800,000 to claw back files they could have gotten back all that time ago if they'd just been honest, if they just acted like human beings.
I should think you'd have the decency to be embarrassed yourself.
But this is that problem when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. It doesn't cost Jones and Mayer anything to sue people to cover their own asses. It doesn't cost a city anything to sue people, to blame people for their actions. Again, the city council has held nobody responsible for these actions as far as we know publicly. It's laughable. But ultimately, I'm glad that we settled. I'm glad that it went away. I'm glad that the taxpayers aren't going to eat more and more money and aren't going to keep throwing good money after bad into the coffers of Jones and Mayer over their cock-up. And again, let me reiterate that for the final time, over their mistake.
Big mistake. Big. Huge.
They were the ones that violated evidence codes. They were the ones that violated attorney-client privilege. They were the ones that violated HIPAA. They were the ones that broke the law and violated the ABA by putting confidential files, legally protected files, on the open internet and telling people about it. It wasn't our responsibility to not publish what they told us about. It was their responsibility to protect files, and they failed at it. That is what this case was about from the get-go. Now, I'm sorry that the taxpayers had to take on the chin. I'm a taxpayer. It pisses me off. But I wasn't going to take accountability for the city's wrongdoing just to make something go away. They've been threatening us since day one, and none of this was necessary. So really, the blame's on them. That's all I have for now. Thanks for watching, listening, paying attention, etc., etc. We'll get back to more regular content soon. Cheers.